Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by a ABC, NBC, and Fox executive, all of them with me, Rich, the king of porn style, Stan Bowen.
I'm a triple threat. ABC, NBC, ECW.
ECW.
Fox, I'm an executive.
CW, UPN.
We are TNN. In control of the draft. TNN, TLC, TNT, every channel, every network, forever.
How ridiculous was the draft?
Stupid. It was dumb.
That's why we're dressed up here. Because we're going to draft you. We're drafting the chat room today.
Can I curse?
Yeah.
It was dumb as fuck.
It was really dumb.
Yeah. It was like, it was so cringeworthy. And listen, if you guys watch this show, even if you're new, we'll tell you straight up. We are super positive about wrestling. We love wrestling. It makes us happy. But when it's dumb, boy, is it dumb. And that shit was fucking dumb. I have not felt as insulted as a wrestling fan in a very long time.
Really? I've never heard you this heated up.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, just it's like the definitely dangling the carrot in front of the audience, saying like, yo, big changes are in store. Pyro, cool shit's happening.
New
and
set.
And they cut to Al Roker and Troy Aikman, you know, pretending like they give a shit.
The Fox robot was in the war room.
That's not even a Fox office, I guarantee it. That's like a WeWork somewhere.
By the way, it was the most diverse group of people I've ever seen compiled in an office.
So ridiculous.
It was so culturally diverse, which was the best part of it. I have a lot to talk about, obviously, today. I just want to let you know. You want to see a magic trick?
Sure.
All right, you ready? Look, regular guy going on the train for work.
Okay.
Oh, Greek nightclub owner.
I like it.
Yeah.
And or hookah bar owner.
Or hookah bar owner.
Fix it. Put it back.
Like this?
No,
I want it open.
Button it up.
I like it. Just button it up.
You're going to have to go see HR today.
We do have a lot to talk about, obviously. But guys, go to our website, gfgnetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Also, patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. Rich and I are going to do an OnlyFans show you not nude, but like boudoir photos.
We're going to do some.
That's what we're going to start doing.
We're going to do some Ahi Gao type stuff, too.
Yeah. I want to do only anime stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I want to dress up like anime, but like just show a little butt.
Deacon needs to make us our ape penis costumes. Our like squid penis so we can like just yell at each other.
We're gonna sign up on everything. We're going to be on Chatterbait, Live Jasmine, My Free Cam.
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
It's your girl.
What?
It's your girl.
It's your, what is that?
That's a new one.
I don't know that one. Yeah. I should know this. It's like.
You should. Yeah.
I'm also, somebody said I'm dressed like I work for a strip club. I find that highly offensive.
Yeah, you should be offended.
Because I do work for a strip club.
You should be offended.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny too, because you're wearing a suit jacket.
Yeah.
And a shirt with no tie.
I never wear a tie.
Really?
I was going to put on a tie. I didn't have a tie that I went with this.
You don't know how to tie a
tie? I know how to. I do a Windsor knot.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's the only knot I know how to do.
Yeah?
What do you do?
I do, if the tie is suitable, I'll do that old double Windsor. I get a
big fat one? Yeah, but that's for like a wedding.
You know?
Right? What's your like everyday tie?
Just this tie, basically. This is like a half Windsor.
Yeah.
Same
thing. Clean up well. You actually look a lot thinner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did lose a lot of weight. I stopped drinking. I haven't had a drink in 37 days.
I'm 23. I had one drink in 23 days.
I've been working out.
Nice. Good for you. I'm really happy. I'm dying. That's why I lost weight. Guys, let's talk about this. I'm cosplaying as Tony Khan, somebody says in the chat room.
Passable.
That's fucking great. I love that. Yeah. I love Tony Khan. By the way, last night's AEW, I watched it in a bar in Midtown Manhattan. I was at Parker and Quinn.
Oh, nice.
And I told the guy, I said, do me a favor. Put on AEW. He knew exactly what I was talking about. Not because he likes wrestling. He says that he has seen the commercial everywhere.
Oh, that commercial's everywhere.
Everywhere. So I watched it in a bar, and with a bunch of... this was actually interesting, right? Like, you want to talk about the psychology of this?
Yeah, please.
It was a bunch of suits in there, because everybody was trapped because we couldn't get on a train. It was flooded in New York.
So ridiculous.
So I'm at the bar, and I tell the bartender to put it on. He's like, what is it on fire? So I'm like, 550. He's like, I knew it was TNT, but I forgot. So he puts it on, and we're watching it, and all these guys are like, this isn't WWE. Mm. I'm like, no, this is AEW. We got so into it. Do you know what they all got into? Marco Stunt. They love Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt. They couldn't believe that match.
Jungle Boy is very handsome.
To the point, well, I told everybody, I'm like, that's Luke Perry's son, and they were like actually shocked.
Uh-huh.
they couldn't believe how crazy that match was. They loved Pentagon. They loved all of it.
Yeah, Pentagon.
I was shocked. They thought Chris Jericho was terrifying. They didn't even recognize
him.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch it with people that are executives. Like, these are 250K, 500,000 plus sports fans that don't give a crap about wrestling and how into it they got. I was really excited for that. Really cool. I didn't have the volume up for most of the show.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to fill in the blanks a little bit. Something that they do really badly. You can't go the following day and go to TNT or go to like YouTube TV and watch it.
Really?
You have to wait like 3 days for it to be posted, which sucks.
But they do the back-to-back.
They do the back-to-back. And then on Tuesdays, they air it on True TV. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10. I'm curious what those ratings are.
And also on Tuesdays, they release the AEW Dark.
Oh, dude, that match.
Which is pretty great, man. Did you see the Kenny-Joey Janela match?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Joey Janela, I do firmly believe in 2 years, he's going to be a top guy for that company.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just like...
He's not that young. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but I do really feel like he's gonna end up being a top guy. I feel like that's why they're putting him with a Kenny and a Mox.
And he hung.
And a Page, just because like they're like, yo, listen, kid, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to work on, you know? What a great episode yesterday.
Okay, so let's talk about... I want to talk about Raw also. Because, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, it sucked.
Okay. Raw sucked.
Sorry, guys.
The big news here, boys and girls, in WWE is that Eric Bischoff is fired after 3 months.
Womp womp.
Bruce Pritchard has taken over as executive director for SmackDown. So Pritchard was very hands-on to begin with the SmackDown writing.
Right.
Okay. When Ryan Ward was fired or let go, right, or sent home a couple months ago, that was the beginning of trying to fix the show.
Right.
I'm going to say this first. I like Bischoff a lot.
Right.
I don't think he's this villain that he's been made up in wrestling.
No.
The narrative has been very negative about him. From people that I know that know him personally now, you know, at the age of 65, he's a very different person. But being out of wrestling for the as an executive position for as many years as he was, 18, 19 years, it's not like getting back on the horse.
Yeah. Also, going along those lines is that people often mistake his business acumen for villainy, which is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, because of the character he played on TV. Same thing with Vince. Or it's like, these guys are businessmen. I'm sure they're nice guys at the end of the day. Bischoff seems like he's a really nice guy at the end of the day. There's also a big conspiracy theory that Bischoff was never meant to have a long run there. That he was hired to appease executives.
Yes.
And the plan was always to have Bruce Pritchard replace him.
So I know a little bit about this. The plan for him, he was more of a liaison for the Fox stuff in the role that he was in. There wasn't this idea that we're going to fire him after a couple months. But as soon as he got there, a lot of people realized that this was going to be a shorter run than they had anticipated. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be a 3 month run in the position he was in. It's difficult. You know, you're out of that mix for so long. You know, Bruce, for example, Bruce was knee deep in WWE nonsense forever.
Right.
He was out of it for a little bit, you know, from 2000 and when did they fire him? 2008?
No.
2007?
I think 2006.
2006 maybe when he got fired. So, but he went to TNA, and then he was out of the game for only a couple of years compared to being Eric Bischoff and kind of being out of this full time game for 18 years. It's not an easy transition. Listen, I have a very similar issue. I can't do that corporate 9-to-5 thing.
It's tough,
right? I can't.
Yeah,
I'm in a role right now, much like Eric. In a position where I'm filling a need, but the difference is I'm only there a couple days a week. I'm not there.
Yeah.
So he didn't have that option. He moved his family.
Yeah.
He moved to Connecticut. God, I hope he didn't buy a house. He rented. You know, I hope he didn't sell his house.
It's tough, man. It's tough. I mean, like, it's a very, like, with any high-end corporate job like that, it's very demanding. You know, like, who knows what this guy's going through on a day-to-day basis. But at the same time, you know, he made probably a decent chunk of change. And it really, like, from a fan's perspective and just seeing how this played out, it really just seemed like he was a space filler until they were like, all right.
That's quite possible.
You know, yeah. Like, let's just move somebody else into the position that we, like, I could, from a business standpoint, because we are businessmen today.
Very much so. We are businessmen.
We're executives today. You're fired, but you're rehired. You could easily say, like, all right, the network execs could say, I want Paul Heyman. I want Eric Bischoff. They have track records of blah, 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 blah. And then WWE saying, we got Bruce Pritchard.
Well, who's Bruce brought in, you know, Eric.
I understand that. But them saying, we have Bruce Pritchard who works extremely well in the WWE system, right? And they're like, well, we want one of these guys. And then them turning around, getting Bischoff, and then having like a lackluster couple of debut episodes, right? And then saying like, hey, this guy's not working.
But you know what? Was that his fault? I don't blame
Eric for it.
You know, that writing, it was done. It's not him changing the script every single week.
Yeah.
So the story is that Vince did not like his guidance. Mm-hmm. And would literally tear apart everything top to bottom that he would put out there.
It was all NWO.
I think you know what it was. It was like, listen, so hear me out. So we bring back Hogan.
Ugh.
Which they did, by the way. Hogan's there. It's an audience of one. I get it. I feel really terrible for him in the long run. Now, let's see how good Bruce is going to do with this. Because, listen, Bruce... For all that he's hysterical, he's a great podcaster, and he's, you know, a great storyteller, where is his writing ability in 2019?
Okay.
We don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. We know where Paul's is.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Heyman's been writing TV for years.
Obsessively. Obsessed with wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is, it's one of the things he seems to have, like, boundless love for professional wrestling.
But listen. At the end of the day, he's writing those cuck angles.
Is he?
You know what I mean?
I do really want to say that's Vince's doing.
I don't think.
Maverick, Bobby Lashley, Mike Kanellis,
three
in the last 6 months.
Three cuck angles.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do. It's very easy to do. It hits a nerve. I get it. I get why they do it, but I'm going to tell you something. That's not Vince.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think he's like, ha ha, we'll have somebody steal his girl. Ha ha, there's nothing he could do about it.
I don't think that's Vince. I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of this writing is not him. You know, I was talking about writing, right? Like, you want to talk about, like, you write.
Sure.
You read.
I do read.
I can read.
I do talk.
You can smell. You could also see.
I have my five senses.
You have all your senses.
Yes.
You look at The Undertaker, and I posted this.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Yeah, 100%.
What a great story, this guy. And you know who created all that? Vince.
Mm-hmm.
So for all that you say about Vince McMahon, this guy created The Undertaker until about 2 years ago, he told one of the greatest stories ever. You know, until he beat, you know, Roman beating him was the end of that story.
Do you think so?
Yeah, now he's like special one-offs, but that was the end of the story. Okay.
You think Taker now is like Andre at the end of his career?
Yeah, kind of.
Just like an attraction.
He just shows up. He's an attraction. I don't know what they are going to do going forward. I'm going to tell you, Raw was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse. SmackDown was not a good show at all.
Surprisingly, like, it's surprisingly not that great,
it's
right?
It's not good. It's not good, and that is not good for us. And listen, I'm not viewing it to dislike it.
100%.
I'm viewing it to like everything. Seth Rollins on Monday burning down the Firefly Funhouse was so stupid. It's their hottest, and I know why. You know why they did it? So they don't have to do it on SmackDown.
Right.
That's why they did it.
Yeah.
But you're telling that story. Doesn't last week's show, when we did, and I told you, the two other endings make a lot more sense?
Yes.
How he was going to be kidnapped.
Right.
And he was going to be taken to the Firefly Funhouse.
You can do a cuck angle, but not a kidnapping angle.
That was one of the proposed angles, where it's almost like they still went to the end of the story, but they missed the total middle part. How did he know where it was?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You would think after Bray Wyatt's cabin was burned down by Randy Orton, this dude would have invested in some asbestos or some kind of insulation to keep his house from burning down.
It just burnt down. Second house is burnt down for him. Randy Orton burnt the first one. Mm-hmm. And now Seth Rollins burnt the second one. So that's apparently what you do with him.
So he
burned out his home.
But he needs a new, like, lair.
He doesn't have one anymore. He unleashed the fiend. That's what it was.
All right.
So
when you turn on the TV, like, I don't want to talk about, I don't want to rag on it any more than we have to. But for once, I was like, yo, this is not that great. And it's also a shame, too, because I think, like, I said this last week, and I'll reiterate it. There's too much LED nonsense going on.
A lot of LED.
Very distracting.
Tons.
Right? Number two, you have arguably the most technical / athletic / dynamic roster you've ever had. Right? And what happens? Everybody has the same goddamn match over and over again. Everybody works the same match, works the same style.
Sells the same way.
Sells the same way. Knows their cues by heart. And it's like I understand it's sports entertainment and it's a monster, and I do think like WWE shouldn't even be considered pro wrestling at this point because they're their own entity.
It's a television product about a family that owns a wrestling promotion.
They're their own entity. Whereas like if you look at ROH, NJPW, TNA, AEW, you can spot everybody's distinct wrestling style, right? The workers were able to kind of go free reign, put on their own matches, cut their own promos. Even NWA Power, very good.
Distinct, looks different.
Feels different. It's very tongue-in-cheek. One of our followers the other day, I think Jamie, said, I like watching this because they're not treating me like an idiot.
Who said this?
I think it was one of our followers. I think his name is Jamie.
NWA.
He's got a Fozzy avatar.
About
NWA. I like watching it because they're not spoon-feeding me nonsense, basically. You know? And it's true. It's very tongue-in-cheek. I ended up watching the last episode, Mr. Anderson's back.
Yeah.
You know? Like, really fun stuff.
He creeps me out.
Why?
I don't know.
Because he says his name twice?
Yeah.
What if you did that?
Zarian?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be Zarian.
You should be. That's the name of your third child.
Zarian, yeah.
But he's born with a goatee.
I got Taylor Zarian, Hunter Zarian.
And then Zarian.
And Zarian.
Little goatee on him.
Little goatee.
He's the evil one. So it's like, it's a little oddball how, from a fan's perspective, it seems like they really, truly hit an impasse. And guess what? I think you'll agree with me on this. This happens every single time before they do that blasted Saudi show.
Yeah.
That TV, the product on TV just gets, it's like drivel, you know? And then they reset, and then they're like, all right, cool, we're not setting up for the Saudi show again anymore. What do you think about that?
I think that Saudi show definitely puts a halt to everything that they're doing because it's not, it doesn't follow the continuity of anything that they do. Think about all the stuff that they have to do right now for that show. And all the promotion that they have to do. Mm-hmm. They're doing a 5-on-5 Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan team thing. They're doing Tyson Fury. They're doing Cain Velasquez.
I think Cain Velasquez is taking that title.
You think so?
I think so. I think he's walking out.
The dude can't even walk.
I think he's walking out WWE champion.
Let's see what happens. I don't know.
Are you excited about Cain versus Brock?
I kind of am. Because I know Brock's going to sell the crap out of everything
absolutely,
he does.
Absolutely.
Brock is so good at convincing you guys that you don't want to see him.
Is he?
Is that
what he
because
wants?
You know what? I actually look forward to a Brock Lesnar match. Why do I like him? I should dislike him.
Because he is a spectacle to look at.
He's a spectacle.
You know? That's like when you go, when you're a kid and you see the action figure that, like, your mom won't buy you in the window.
That's what he is?
That's Brock Lesnar, because you kind of look at it for like 2 minutes and you're blown away by it. And then at the end of the day, you're like, what am I going to do with this thing?
By the way, that $15 million to Tyson Fury, that is not an actual true number.
Yeah.
I want people to know. They're not paying him $15 million. I don't know if they're working everybody on this to make it seem like. Remember how much they said they paid Floyd Mayweather? Remember that whole story? not, he's not getting 50 million.
He got like
$2 million,
I think, right?
Who?
Mayweather.
Mayweather got,
they
maybe
said
like,
20.
They said 20 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury didn't even make $15 million for his prize fight. You think they're going to pay him $15 million? The guy drew 8,000 people at T-Mobile. In Vegas for his fight. They're not paying him $15 million.
I like Tyson Fury a lot. I love heavyweight boxing.
I love heavyweight boxing.
He's got such a great personality, and I think he gels well with Braun, and Vince must be creaming his pants because it's not Big Show versus Mayweather.
Yeah, it's two big giant dudes.
It's two giant MFers going at it, and this is Vince written all over it. And I can only imagine that backstage talk that Vince is having with Tyson Fury, basically like, and then you're going to hit him with the right,
yeah,
and then you're going to hit him with the left. And then he's going to hit you with this. And then how do you think that match is going to end? It's in 2 weeks, by the way.
I think there's going to be a run-in. It's going to be a no contest, and it's going to turn into a tag match against Ziggler and Bobby Roode. That's what I think is going to happen.
Groan.
Yeah, I think it's going to turn into a tag team match.
I hate that so much.
Yep.
Maybe not
Bobby Roode, but definitely Ziggler and somebody else.
So that show is on, what, the 31st?
31st, Halloween.
So we're going to watch it, right?
Spooky.
In costume?
In costume.
Can we both dress like Finn Balor?
Yeah, you want to be just underwear guys? Let's just be underwear guys. Let's talk about, here's a story.
Shoot.
Before we get to AEW. Right. January 10th, 2019. We did a show that week.
Yes.
I told the story about how WWE is looking to purchase Noah back in January and how Steve Corino was brought into the company to be a liaison to this deal.
Right.
This was kind of to appease Kenta and some of the other talent that maybe are unhappy and maybe get Pac back and do have their NXT Japan.
Mm-hmm.
This is I literally put the details out to the story. 9 months later, the story is out. Dave Meltzer
is, he okay?
is talking about it. I cough every time I hear Dave Meltzer. I've developed this cough from years ago. We spoke about this.
We did. We did talk. I do remember you sitting there and you were pontificating about, and we were talking about what is WWE going to do to combat the burgeoning AEW stuff. The burgeoning New Japan stuff. How are they going to entrench themselves into Japan? And it seems like it did not work out for them very well.
So no one never intended on selling it to them. They were using them to be a bidder so they could get sold. And they did sell the company.
Yeah.
WWE was also interested in purchasing Stardom.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. Bushiroad bought them, parent company to New Japan.
Great.
Which they're going to be... I don't know how much of this is going to affect New Japan, but this is Bushiroad bought them. But we spoke about this and the whole Noah thing and the Japan expansion. I don't know where they are in this. I don't know when this announcement is coming. Apparently, there's an announcement coming today from WWE. I don't know if they're going to announce this, but it's interesting that everybody announced their Japanese deals this week.
Very interesting. It is very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get that AEW New Japan deal in the next year?
As of right now, it is terrible.
Yeah. It doesn't look good, right?
It looks absolutely terrible.
New Japan's killing it right now.
Dude, that show was great.
New Japan's killing it. The Liger stuff is amazing. The Okada stuff is amazing. I still don't understand how people think Okada's boring, but his match with Sonata.
He's the best wrestler in the world, ever.
His
ever.
Hey, you know what? So is Kenny.
No, Okada's better than Kenny.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't want to get into this argument.
Yeah. As far as like in-ring, like smoothness.
I think they're both equal.
I'm gonna say Okada... slight edge over Kenny.
Okay.
Slight edge.
But he's one of the greatest of all time. His match with Sonata rocks. The whole Ibushi contract signing is that, like, that match I'm looking forward to. And that's
Wrestle Kingdom's two nights.
That's one thing that New Japan does, and AEW's starting to do the same thing, that they give you these marquee matches way ahead of time that you can't help but be excited for, right? Now follow me on this.
Yeah.
So your Wrestle Kingdom main event, it's October. Your Wrestle Kingdom main event in January is going to be Okada versus Ibushi. I know you can't wait for it. I can't wait for it, right?
What is this? Wrestle Kingdom 14, correct?
Right. Now, your full gear main events, Cody versus Jericho, Kenny versus Mox.
Yeah.
Right? Can't wait for those matches either. And that's November, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia. you have Tyson Fury versus Braun Strowman.
Okay.
And Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Right? I think that's a big thing with every other wrestling promotion gives you like these matches where you're like, yo, I really want to see what happens, as opposed to the, and I don't think it's not a knock on the talent, right? I think for me personally, it's a knock on the limitations placed on the talent, right? Now imagine if they, no producers between Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins.
Okay.
And somebody said, go out there and just go effing nuts.
They would do it.
Right.
Yeah. But
right?
That's not how they operate.
Right.
You can't change that culture that's been embedded over the last 20 years in a company. That's really what it is. I you know, you have such talent over there, but it's so many different hands it goes through.
Yeah.
You know, it's going through 5,000 different hands, but by the time we get the product, who knows what it ends up being? You know, a lot of these ideas probably start off as something really good.
Why are Deacon's shorts so short? Are those boxers or shorts?
What is he doing? He's walking around with no pants now.
Yeah.
I
he looks like he's going through a divorce.
He is
You were saying.
I can't. I should have put that curtain down.
If you put on a button down and tie, you can come in.
I just feel like this attitude that we have developed now of, oh man, it's Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't look forward to it. I didn't look forward to it this week.
Lately, I have been going to bed or switching the channel very early. And then just like watching it later on.
Yeah, because I look at Twitter, I'm like, oh, Rich stopped. I guess I'll start again.
That's it.
That's pretty much how I
do it. And you know how I stop? The last thing I tweet is usually, don't forget to follow Andrew Zarian and Rich.
Yeah.
See you later.
See you later.
And then I'll wake up.
15.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'll wake up with like 40 notifications.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Like, nah, dude.
But AEW, let's talk about that last night. Very solid show. First of all, NXT, I don't care what they do beyond this. I'm telling you right now, they need to get out of that building. They need to get out of that building because it does not look like they're even competing on the same ground.
Right.
By being at Full Sail. Mm-hmm. No matter how good their talent is and how good their matches are, they need to be in different buildings.
Okay. So are you adding NXT to this like lumpy dumpy problem of WWE right now?
No. Well, the NXT's problem is not that. NXT's, here's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a mistake to do 2 hours for them.
And to go head-to-head with AEW.
They did it because right now, USA needs any kind of programming because they lost suits.
Yeah.
So anything is a positive in that time slot because they would probably be putting on a Tuesday night, most likely they would be running a Crisley repeat or a Law & Order repeat or something.
I'm a murderer, baby.
I'm a murderer. So for them to get 900,000, 800,000 people, that's pretty good. But what you have done now is put a subpar product visually against something that's
looks
colorful
amazing.
And
yeah.
looks amazing. I'm not even talking about the product. I'm not even going near that at this point. I'm saying visually, you put one next to the other, you're going to say which one is big league. You're always going to go with AEW.
You know what's funny about the AEW stuff is that their audience is built in, right? So you take a guy like Jungle Boy and a guy like Marco Stunt who have really not had very much TV time.
Zero.
And you put them, and the reaction they got from that arena, tremendous, right? Whereas the
first of all, everything that was done in that arena was hot.
Everything. Yo, yeah. Scorpio Sky, future world champ. That dude.
How over did he get?
Killed it yesterday.
With no shoes.
Yep, killed it yesterday. So that being said, like that built-in audience knows exactly. They're smart. They know who everybody is. They love everybody. They know who to boo. They know who to cheer. It doesn't look like the building's full of buttholes, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, NXT is still very developmental, right? It is still, no matter, it is the third brand, but when they brought out the Chinese dude yesterday,
I didn't get a chance to watch
the crowd. Didn't know, like the NXT crowd doesn't know who a lot of these people are, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you know, debuting here, whatever. And then you had Ciampa's return, which was awesome. Ciampa and Angel Garza put on a great match.
Yeah.
Angel Garza is going to be their future star, right?
That guy is definitely going to be a huge star for them, yeah.
Do you think they're doing counter-programming?
A little bit.
Okay.
They were the first 2 weeks. I didn't see this week, so.
Okay, so.
What was it going against?
So, this I thought was interesting. So, it was Britt Baker and Rio on AEW, right? And Io Shirai, and I forgot the lady's name. She got long blonde hair. She got long hair. They're kind of like dreadlocks. I forgot her name. The Britt Baker match was unfortunately full of a lot of weird miscues and fumbles.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The Io Shirai match, however, incredible.
Okay.
Right? And I just thought it was odd with the placement of like ladies match, right?
I think, you know, it's also traditional, mm-hmm. you know, matchmaking, mm-hmm. you know, structuring of your cards. So some of that will always fall into place, but there is a lot of counter-programming happening. Lacey Lane? But that's not her name now. She had a different name.
It's Casey Lane.
The Angel Garza, it was a return of Ciampa.
Great match. Yeah. Like, they both shine.
Solid match.
Ciampa didn't do too much, but he's looking good. And then you had, like, the confrontation with...
Undisputed Era. And by the way, he's hurt. Velveteen Dream. He's injured.
Okay. And then you had Finn Balor with, a weird promo.
No, wasn't it only Lorcan and... Danny Burch.
I don't even look at Danny Burch versus the Imperium, which is really
good match.
It was really good, except when you look, like, my problem with that match was
Caden Carter.
When you look at that match between the Imperium and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, from a distance, I'm hard pressed to be like, I can't tell who these guys are.
Interesting.
Because they all look the same.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Every one of them looks the same.
Right. So I was like, this is a little weird, but the match was awesome. I love Oney Lorcan. I think the Imperium's fantastic. And then your main event was...
Keith Lee, Donovan Dijak?
No.
Keith Lee, Donovan Dijak, then Matt Riddle, Bronson Reed.
Right. I enjoy Keith Lee... And Donovan, it's Dominic Dijakovic now.
Not Donovan Dijak.
Right.
The main event was Pete Dunne, Damian
right.
Priest.
That Pete Dunne, Damian event. Priest. Damian Priest, the former Punishment Martinez, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your main event on AEW was...
Jericho and
Darby Allin.
By the way, how many times we've seen Darby Allin live?
So good.
I've seen him kill himself 5,000 times in Evolve. This guy is insane.
Your co-main event, right? Hangman and Kenny Omega versus Pac and Moxley. Unbelievable tag team match, right?
Yeah.
And then followed by Jericho, Darby Allin. Great singles match. Great ending. Another 3 weeks in a row. Great endings to AEW. Jericho standing strong. Santana and Ortiz. Don't underestimate them, right? Lucha Brothers. Like, now we're seeing AEW really come into their own with this roster, whereas, like, do you think the intention was for NXT to compete with this? Or, like, I really want to know about that extrapolation, because clearly AEW is on another level. I think people thought it was going to be the same, but it's not.
Interesting. I think with AEW, they got to keep the momentum, but they're not... Remember, it's they're just doing a wrestling show, right? At the end of the day, they're not really doing deep story building yet. They're building it with the competitiveness amongst their talent.
Yeah.
By the way, AEW's gate for last week was $234,000.
Wow.
Which is not bad.
No,
that was this week. They had 9,000 people. Average ticket price was $26.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to get all their numbers here. Hang on.
When they come around to New York, we must make it a point to go.
Well, this is a big problem they're having.
They can't get into New York.
The Garden's not doing it.
Well, you have Nassau.
Who wants to go to Nassau Coliseum?
You have Terminal 5.
Nobody's going to Terminal 5.
You have Hammerstein Ballroom.
They're not going to do Hammerstein, I was told.
You have the theater at the Garden.
They're not going to do the theater at the Garden.
We're just talking New York State, right?
New York City.
Not
You go Long Island.
Because, I mean, like, if you went to Jersey.
Yuck. No, not, you know. No, nobody. I would never go.
Really?
I would not even consider going to New Jersey.
All right.
To the Izod Center. Gross. Let's see. Yeah, their gate was $234,000. The average ticket was $26. They had 9,000 tickets sold wow. for the building. So, listen, man, they're doing good. That's a good gate.
Mm-hmm.
$234,000. Unbelievable.
The cool thing about this is I've talked to, like, I ended up talking to, like, a bunch of people, like, at random during my day yesterday.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were basically like, hey, you like wrestling? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, so, like, I haven't watched in, like, 10 years, and I started watching AEW, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. Another dude who was like, yo, man, like, Raw, he's, like, an older guy. He's like, yo, Raw and SmackDown have sucked. Like, these are his words. He's like, yo, Raw and SmackDown have sucked for, like, years. He's like, I turn on AEW, and now I'm hooked again. Now I want to buy.
They're excited,
he's
yeah.
like, now I want to buy all of Chris. He's like, I used to hate Chris Jericho. Now I love him. He looks nuts. I want to buy all his merchandise.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, I don't even know who these Spanish guys are, and they're great.
Dude, how great are they? Somebody called them the Wild Puerto Rican guys
uh-huh.
at the bar. He's like, who are these Wild Puerto Ricans? I was like, that's kind of what they are.
Ortiz and Santana.
Ortiz and Santana. They're phenomenal.
Those dudes, I think, now that they've moved on from Impact, this is where the real work starts.
Yeah.
You know? And you can tell, like, being 3 weeks on TV, not that they were held down on Impact, but, like, there was only so much they could do there.
Listen, there's only so much you could do at a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But they're looking to push these guys and elevate these guys, and it means something.
Yeah.
You know, Darby Allin means something. Joey Janela means something.
Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting that match didn't happen on AEW TV. That dark match. Well, I think that was a mistake.
I disagree. I think that was, they built their fan following on the internet. I think they need to keep that up, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That was a phenomenal match.
It was awesome.
Yeah, very good match.
Not as good as, not as amazing as everybody made it out to be online, but a really awesome match.
It was a lot more of a hardcore match than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Perception. Remember, what are we perceiving this going into it, mm-hmm. considering it's a dark match, compared to what came out?
Right.
So, I mean, the big story now is, well, actually, what college venues are in New York City? We don't have college venues like that.
No, we don't.
We don't have the space.
Queens College. The Queens College Center.
St. John's. But yeah. That's like 10. They're not going to go to St. John's University.
No.
It's not happening. We're going to do questions, by the way, at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Q&A segment at the end. So get your questions ready. And we'll be answering them. I don't know. I just thought that AEW had a good TV product. Once again, they had the edge on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what the ratings come in at 3 o'clock. What they're going to be.
Now, as an executive,
yes.
What do you want their ratings to be?
I'm going
to
say AEW holds at a 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was no competition. I'm going to say they went up to 1.12. I'm going to say NXT went down to 770.
Who would you have drafted to Raw or SmackDown? Can we also again say how terrible that whole thing was?
The draft was so bad.
The draft was stupid.
Stupid. Stupid.
I don't mind the real sports feel, but I feel like it seemed like nobody knows what a draft is. Nobody knows what sports is. And this was somebody who never watched sports, wrote this, and was like, yeah, this is how it goes, right?
I couldn't believe, like, it was just sorry. I'm still dying from the potato. It was very inconsistent on how they did the draft. I really think the Nikki and Alexa draft.
Yeah.
Was the dumbest thing ever
uh-huh.
because they're not considered a tag team because they don't have like a tag team name. And then they traded people back.
Right. Right.
Like it's like null and void. Some of these trades.
And didn't Nakamura also get drafted with Sammy, but they don't have a tag team name.
No,
but they got drafted as a package.
So stupid.
I think it was very insulting to the fans.
I think you're right though. I think these are people that have never seen a draft before, no,
especially because like, I don't think
a draft. Close the window.
I don't think you need to announce Raw people drafted to Raw and SmackDown people drafted to SmackDown. Like, I feel bad for Stephanie because, also, like, Stephanie does such a great job and with any kind of promo, and she really had to feel it. Like, ah, oh, Roman Reigns drafted to SmackDown.
By the way, what draft? Listen, I like baseball. I'm not that big. I mean, not that I'm not big on football, but I don't watch it as
like
other
a big
people.
Sports guy.
I like baseball. I like basketball. I like hockey. I follow everything pretty much. But yeah. I know how a draft works.
Right.
Have you ever seen a draft where somebody comes out and says the number one draft pick is Seth Rollins? The number two draft pick is Roman Reigns. Also, here's all the other ones on the screen.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Exactly. Like, they did their version. I really do think they should have just done the
lottery.
Not the lottery. The whatever they called it, like, the last time.
The shuffle?
The shuffle. They should have just called it the shuffle.
You know what they could have done?
Yeah.
Here's how this works. Superstar shuffle. Here's how this works.
Yeah.
Each brand has five picks, mm-hmm. okay? You got five picks. The picks are going to be determined by the matches.
Yeah.
After that, everything is a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Total random.
Yeah.
Where everybody goes. So now what happens? They're not going to waste their number two pick on Nikki.
Right.
They're going to be like, okay, number two pick. I want Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. or do we want Roman Reigns, or do we want Seth Rollins? It becomes a real thing.
Right.
Where you're drafting the top draws.
Yeah.
Rather than picking random.
Right. Right.
Like, who did they lose and they got so mad at it, and I could not believe that they got so angry at it. I forgot what it was. Like, it was the NBC guys throwing their papers up in the air like, God damn it, we didn't get Alexa.
That was stupid.
I couldn't believe that.
But I think between Superstar Shuffle and
Stupid Star Shuffle.
Between that and calling it the draft, this is the first year that they tried to make it like an actual draft, right?
By the way, The Miz, every year, mm-hmm. has flip-flopped.
Yep. He's so dependable. Now, do you think, from a business perspective, this had nothing to do with WWE corporate, but instead with their new network deals? Like, do you think Fox has so much input that they were like, no, we need this person, and this person?
Yes, they did do that for some people. Like, they said that for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was always going on.
And they also hired CM Punk. Outside of a WWE umbrella.
He wasn't on the show.
No, but...
We don't know where he is right now.
We don't know where he is right now. But that's Fox money, not WWE money.
Did you watch that show? I did.
I watched a bit of it. It was very good.
It was so different. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, Renee Young, this is the role she needs to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Renee flourished so much.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know, she was hired from TSN mm-hmm. in Canada. Renee Young this is the role that she had. She had a sports role.
Right.
Where she would do a show like this. She was so natural
mm-hmm.
and likable
yep.
and comfortable in this role. She had personality and mm-hmm. charisma. I couldn't believe, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how good she is.
Talking smack and the pre-shows, that's where she shines.
Yeah.
Right? When she's talking naturally, that's the without somebody in
talking
her ear.
Smack was one of their biggest mistakes when they cut that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It broke down the wall.
It was so much fun, but I do feel that company is drowning in politics.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and like the stuff, like in the last 2 weeks, you hear two guys that are very popular. One, Moxley and the AEW crew did the New York media circuit for Comic-Con.
Who did?
Moxley and it was Moxley, Jericho,
yeah.
Jungle Boy, Awesome Kong,
Nyla
Rose, and Brandy on some of them. But they did the media tour in New York, right? During like Comic-Con weekend, right? Which was the premiere. So, you know, they were showing up on different shows, and I think, like, Mox was being very honest. He was like, you know, it's a lot different than working for WWE. In WWE, they'll give you, like, rah-rah BS, company toe the company line type stuff.
Yeah.
But the reality is nobody gives a shit about you, you know?
Yeah.
Punk was on Chris Hardwick this week.
Because they're boys.
ID10T, because they're buddies. And he wasn't ragging on the company at all, but he was like, yeah, no, it's BS. Like, they promote this solidarity, but everybody will sell out their mother or grandmother for a better spot or any of this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So you never, A, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. B, I'm sure it's not the evil empire that everybody makes it out to be. But C, when you have that many people and that many cooks in the kitchen, so much politics has to come
into play. Of course, because you have your favorites, I have my favorites. That's right. Just how it works.
Talking smack leaving, I agree with you. Stupid move, especially for the fans. Because you loved it. I loved it. Everybody else loves it. The only thing that's kind, not close, but that's kind of neat that they do is the Pat McAfee watch-alongs.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, but that's getting weird now, too.
Why?
That's starting to get WWE-fied.
Are you going to have to call HR?
I have to call HR.
All right.
I have to call HR.
You're too sick and too close to me right now. I need to call HR.
Okay, please. I'm not contagious. Guys, give us your questions. I'll answer all your questions, including Persian potatoes questions.
Give us your questions.
I have to tell you, I think there's a lot going on in over the next couple of weeks that we're going to see unfold right now. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's some big story coming out today. That's the story, that a big story is coming out today. So I'm curious what it is.
For WWE.
On the WWE side, yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for wrestling right now. Don't get me wrong. You know, am I excited for the Saudi show? No.
How excited are you for NWA? Did you watch this week's?
Yeah, it was TV? Awesome.
I was watching it, and I'm like, Jess was next to me. I'm like, this is the best TV. Yeah. This is the best wrestling show on TV.
Studio Wrestling is back.
It's so good top to bottom.
Aaron Stevens coming back.
Aaron Stevens is back. I love that Trevor Murdoch is there.
I thought he died.
Trevor Murdoch. I love that it's gritty and ugly. You know, it looks great. It looks like wrestling.
I had it on. My wife was doing work the other day, and I was watching TV, and I was like, "Yo, I'm gonna jump," because like we tried. I don't know if you do this with Jess, but you know, like, "Oh, what do you have to do? I got to do this. What do you got to do?" I was like, "All right, cool. Let me watch a couple of YouTube videos, and then we'll watch a movie."
Yeah.
So I threw it. I was like, "I'm gonna watch this," and I'm watching it, and I'm like, "Yo, Billy Corgan actually used his rock and roll money to do something kind of cool with this stuff." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Billy Corgan owns this, you know?" She's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, look at," and it was like, she was fascinated by the retro vibe to it, the tongue-in-cheekness of it. The desk promos are great.
Love it.
Nick Aldis is
such a believable world champion.
Nick Aldis is an unsung hero of professional wrestling. This guy does not have to give a shit, right? He does not have to care. But I feel like he's really taking on the weight of that championship.
Yeah.
And he's taking it to heart.
Seriously.
And it comes out on his promos, you know? Right.
And they're all fired up promos. It's like an old school, it's a pro wrestling promo. They're not trying to be TV. They're trying to be pro wrestling, which works. All right. Do you want to go through the questions, Rich?
Yeah. Let's go back a little. Guys, don't forget to populate our chat room with these questions on YouTube. All right. Let's see. Large23 asks, what do you think is hurting WWE more, writing or the WWE style of wrestling? You go first. I got a good answer for
that. I think it's a combination of both, but I think what's happening is when you watch wrestling, the whole thing is that you're watching because you want to see what happens next. WWE style has become so predictable in the match flow. The ebbs and flows are so predictable, you know, until they do something crazy, like a Brock Lesnar match that doesn't follow that. Mm-hmm. They have some individuals that don't follow that structure, but for mostly what you see on TV, it's following the same flow. I think that numbs it, but the writing is what kind of sells it. Remember, the Attitude Era, what is that?
I think those are Corn Pops. Fire them. I don't want eggs.
I had breakfast there already. Why would you hand me this?
Do you eat eggs with your hands?
I ate it.
Somebody
I ate it. This
cursed.
Is what I... Yeah. I can't not
you're
eat
you're turning
it.
Into an egg.
Holy shit, now I'm going to turn into an egg. It's actually delicious.
You're an egg potato.
I think, but the writing is what sells. Remember, the Attitude Era had terrible wrestling, but great writing.
Great ideas for the
great
most
ideas.
Part. What's hurting WWE more, writing or the WWE style of wrestling? Again, it's a combination of both, but I also think it's too rushed. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, and it's extremely inconsistent.
Extremely.
Super inconsistent, right? Yeah. The only thing that's consistent is Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable. That is the only consistent thing.
That is the,
on WWE
every week,
program.
6 weeks in a row.
I'm not counting NXT because NXT is very consistent. You know,
yeah.
Like the Undisputed Era stuff is great. It's written well. The Io Shirai stuff is great. And their character development is pretty fantastic. And they're really knocking it out of the park. One thing I did like, though, about this week is you're finally going to get to see the Street Profits in action.
On WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because they were attacked by the OC.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I think they're going to be part of Raw on the roster going forward.
I guess so.
What is the main event of Night 2 of Wrestle Kingdom?
I think it's going to be, what is it going to be, Naito?
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. But it's going to be for both titles, right?
Yeah.
The winner of the IC title match and the winner of the world title match are facing each other.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And also Liger's last match.
Liger's so retirement.
I wonder who that's going to be.
I'm really curious who that's going to be.
Okada.
Who do you think it would be?
And if it's Okada?
I don't know.
Liger
if it
goes
is
out
Okada.
On top.
No, it's going to have to be someone that he has some sort of history with.
Who, in your opinion, is the best promo from each company and why?
Great question.
Go.
MJF or AEW?
I'm going to go Jericho.
And Samoa Joe for WWE.
Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt, WWE, because they're great. They grab you in. They're unique. NWA, clearly it's Nick Aldis.
Yeah, clearly.
I don't watch enough
Impact.
Impact to hazard a guess. And New Japan, I don't speak Japanese. So Jay White.
That is a good question.
Jay Drewism. I think I said that right. What will Braun Fury's tag team name be after they destroy Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler?
Get This Fury.
I agree with that. They're just going to be called Get These Hands.
Get These Hands.
They're just, this is going to be the
Fury
whole
Fury Hands.
I
Hand
want,
Fury.
I don't know about you, but I want Tyson
Braun
Fury.
Fury.
Braun Fury.
Braun Fury sounds like a villain from a Rocky movie.
That is true. Don't you want to see Tyson Fury work the match like Orange Cassidy?
Oh my god. That's hysterical.
Super light chops.
That's hysterical.
Is there anyone you'd say is a bad fit with their current company but would be a great fit in a different company? Who and where? That's Eric Wiley.
Ooh,
Eric Willie.
Eric Willie.
Eric Willie.
I think that's a good
you
question.
Some bitch.
let me think about that. That's actually, there's so many to pick. I think, man, that's such a good question.
You got 3 seconds to pick one.
I can't. My brain's not firing that
Luke
quick.
Harper.
Luke Harper. Great answer.
Luke Harper. Put him okay. in AEW or New
yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
Let's Mike Kanellis. Put him back in Ring of Honor.
Mike Kanellis, I don't think he wants to go to Ring of Honor. I think he wants AEW.
Yeah. Akira Tozawa. Put him in AEW.
Okay.
Apollo Crews, put him in AEW or put him back on NXT.
Cedric Alexander.
I think he's going to do okay. I think he's going to be A-okay.
So what's going on with Daniel Bryan?
I think he really wants to face Drew Gulak.
He really wants to face Drew Gulak.
He tweeted that out the other day. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan? Daniel Bryan in AEW?
I would actually love to see Daniel Bryan in AEW.
I'd want to see him do a Japan tour first.
I want to see, you know what I'm seeing him do? G1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Country Fury, that's pretty good. Did you see the Persian Potato Guy this week?
I did not see the Persian Potato Guy this week. I actually haven't been in the city enough to see him. But he does get on the 948 train. He's on that
morning.
Train. I know because he's coming from Great Neck.
Your thoughts on Rockstar doing the AEW video game? I think that's cool, man.
Yeah, I'm curious how that's going to look.
I think it's going to look awesome, dude. Like, their mocap, my buddy used to work mocap for Rockstar, and their mocap stuff is incredible, especially the stuff that they're working on now.
I'm curious how it'll look. By the way, did you see the disaster that is 2K20?
I saw, some bits here and there.
I didn't believe it was real.
Yeah.
It's even worse when you watch the whole thing.
Well,
the graphics are so bad. The movements are terrible. The storyline for the creator wrestle, I guess your career mode, so bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I always skip them, for the last couple of years, just because, I don't know. I feel like they're glitchy. I don't have time for an extra game.
It looks worse from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's possible.
I think they have a different, I think it's a different production team.
It's the same one?
No, it's I want to say it's still the 2K team, but it's not developed by the same...
That did last year.
Yeah.
Oh, Yuke's. My God.
I think it was Yuke's. I don't think Yuke's did it this year. King Solus, what big star do you think goes to AEW from WWE, and what star do you think goes to WWE from AEW? I don't think anybody's going backwards, right?
Say the question again.
What big star do you think goes to AEW from WWE, and what star do you think goes to WWE from AEW?
Well, everybody's locked into long-term deals right now, so you're not going to get a major acquisition coming soon.
The only dude I can really think of, which is logical, is Cesaro.
Right. Sorry. Yeah,
Cesaro.
Cesaro would be good. I think Luke Harper would be the next guy to go over there.
Yeah.
But really, everybody's locked into a contract that's a main guy. Nobody has availability for at least another year and a half.
And your top guys don't want to leave because life is pretty good for these dudes.
Dude, you're making $500,000 a year. You're barely on TV. Mm-hmm. Here's how this works. You're at the peak of your career, okay? You're 34 years old.
Yeah.
Athletically, you're at the top. Mm-hmm. You're making $500,000. You're on TV once every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. doing a couple of house shows. Do you really want to risk that?
Well, I think, wasn't that Kanellis' issue?
That's Kanellis' issue.
That he was just like, yeah, I want to wrestle. Like, either...
His contract will be over when he's 39 years old.
That's a very, it's so weird that... You know, when stuff like this happens and it makes the news, it's such an awkward thing to see, you know, because on one hand, you feel for the guy and you're like, yo, like, you need to wrestle, you need to do, but does the company see it that way? Or is the company like, listen, dude, you signed a 5-year contract.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like,
I don't know.
Not everybody.
But see, you know what, though? This is how I see it. A lot of times, WWE's better off letting go of somebody.
Yeah.
Letting them go. Get over, because they'll always come back.
Exactly.
Why not just let these guys go, become even bigger stars than they were, and then return and actually have... Listen, Drew Galloway,
yeah,
is a great example, right? Drew left.
Yeah.
He was nothing. He was nothing on the WWE card. I mean, zero.
Yeah.
He was bottom. They fire him. He goes, reinvents himself.
Aces and Eights.
Comes back.
Wait, no, never mind.
No, he wasn't Aces.
You're thinking of, I'm thinking of Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows. Drew Gallows yeah, is his
Drew
name.
Galloway.
Drew Galloway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He goes, he comes back. This guy is a stud now.
Yeah. Same thing with Gallows and Anderson, I think. I think Gallows left.
Fucking Jinder Mahal, dude.
Jinder Mahal. It's very fascinating how they do that, but I think that's the old school mentality. Let these guys become journeymen again. Bring them back when they're hungry for it, yeah, right?
But they don't do that. They've lost that. Listen, the territory days. You ran a territory for 6 months.
Yeah.
All right, kid, your run's over. Go somewhere else and learn a new hold.
Yep.
And then come back, and you're hot again.
Yeah.
This is just how it goes. The problem with WWE TV is that we've seen the same people way too long every single week.
Also, do you think they're just worried about their secrets being exposed? Because I think at this point, Moxley did it the right way. He knew he was leaving. He waited for his contract to run out. He got his royalties. You know, like when if they and
but
I think
Moxley knew he knew that he wasn't. He would have been a top guy in the company, but he was stale. He was done.
But he left the smart way, fulfilling his contract. Right.
He fulfilled his. But he did also tell him that he's not going to go to AEW.
And I'll quote. I think on Jericho's podcast, he was like, "So you know, I ran out." I ran my contract, so basically in 5 years, if they sell a Shield DVD in Zimbabwe, I will get money.
Yeah.
From it, you know? Same thing with Bubba Dudley. But, he's always like, no, I've stayed until my contract was over, and, I still get my royalties. He's
yeah.
Like, he gets, big checks every year, yeah. You know? That's a smart way to do it. But a guy like Kanellis, or a TJP, you know?
Yeah, they let him go, yeah.
Very, Kenta. You know, Kenta, I was very surprised that they were like, sure.
He got hurt too much,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't doing anything with him.
Yeah.
I think, Pac is a great example. The guy fought to leave.
Right.
Del Rio.
Yeah.
He got out of his contract. Then he freaking came back, and then he left again.
So weird.
So weird.
Where does Del Rio end up?
Nowhere. He's fighting Tito Ortiz.
Oh, awesome.
In an MMA fight.
It's very interesting because the guys who get hurt the most are the mid card and lower card guys, right? Especially if they sign these long contracts that aren't working.
Yeah.
Sean Spears is a good example.
Great example.
Sean Spears was like, listen, you guys have nothing for me.
Yeah.
I need out of my contract. And they were like, sure.
Yeah.
You know? But let's say if Daniel Bryan wants to leave, they'll probably kill him with making him fulfill his contract.
I think for Daniel Bryan, he just re-signed. So he's not going anywhere for 2 years.
Yeah.
But let's see what they do with him. Because they're not using him in a vital role right now.
No.
At all.
The Fox executives don't like him.
He's too grizzly.
Mm-hmm. Should we do the show like this every week?
Every week, I think we should do it a suit.
Guys, do you want to see the dressed up Matt Men the podcast every week?
It looks more official. What else do we have? Any more questions?
This is our sports feel. We need headsets with
the mics this. Yeah. Yeah, we need those.
Yeah.
Anything else here?
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. I'm very tired. I'm still feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sick, but I'm just weak.
Are we going to the bar?
We're going to the bar.
Are we going to be dressed like
Yeah.
this? All right.
Let's
great.
Go.
Nice.
Let's tell people. Where are we going? Let's come up with a story.
Disney's buying Matt Men.
I want to tell people that we're buying a porn shop.
Oh yeah, that place on Northern.
Peepers Creepers.
Best little secret?
No, Peepers Creepers.
Peepers Creepers.
That's the name of my porn shop.
We're buying Peepers Creepers.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Later.